The Hour of the Time may be contacted at HOT. That's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, in the state of Arizona, 85925. Our phone number is 928-333-2942, and our website is www.hourofthetime.com.
Situation is that this might have a backlash on the Arabic community in the United States, that people are going to think about this in a racist way,
mm-hmm.
and to think about it in a way that makes us dehumanize the Arabic people in such a way that we could have a war upon them. And I think that is wrong. I think that what we need to do is find out who exactly is responsible for this and deal with it.
Sounds to me like, folks, we already have a war upon them. If the accounts in the press are true, on the major media, if those accounts are true, then we are actively right now bombing, murdering, killing, destroying a lot of innocent people in the capital city of Kabul in Afghanistan who didn't know anything about the people who planned these attacks or carried them out, but we're killing those people. Men, women, and children. Murdering them right now. And I got to tell you something. If my government orchestrated a terrorist attack on some of the country and I didn't know anything about it and didn't approve of it, and that country launched attacks and murdered my family and murdered me and murdered my neighbors. What's the difference? Those people in Afghanistan, in the city of Kabul, who, if the reports are true, if we are bombing them, then we're murdering people who had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with what happened in this country this morning. There's a big difference between bombing the Kremlin and bombing some city in Russia if the Russian government does something against this country. And I'm just using that as an example. So, take it as you will. I know many of you will be angry with me because I'm not in concert with your bloodlust. You see, I think the ones who planned it and carried it out and who did it are the ones who should be punished, not a bunch of people who live in their country, who didn't know anything about it, who would not have approved of it, whose permission was not sought. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you do, because I know that the people who are being bombed, who are being destroyed in Afghanistan right now, as I'm speaking, if the reports are true, and at this time I think that they are, I have reason to believe that they are, and nothing more to do with what happened in this country this morning than you or I.
Nation, and I'm like really concerned about like what's going on over here.
Well, the counselor to the president said earlier today that our military bases were on high alert. Did you see any of that in your area?
Yes, I did.
And in what way?
Oh, well, we saw Dick Murphy, the mayor, came on,
mm-hmm.
and he was really concerned about like everything that was happening around here. And me, as like being from Beach Town and stuff, I'm like pretty laid back with everything that's going on. I'm like really concerned about like our danger to here.
Okay, thanks very much. These are some pictures from the Pentagon as there continues to be burning there. And what we're going to do next is show you some video of a statement by Senator Phil Graham, a Democrat of Florida, earlier today. He's chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Ready? Not since Pearl Harbor has the United States been attacked in its own territory as we were today. Not since Pearl Harbor has our nation been placed under the challenge that it finds itself today. We extend our deepest sympathies to the families of the victims. We recommit, as we did in 1941, that this act of terrorism will not go unpunished. As with Pearl Harbor, which represented a watershed in our nation's history, we are at a similar watershed. Sometimes in the future, we will look back and see September the 11th, 2001, as a point of demarcation in our nation's history. It will be a time of a loss of innocence and an awareness of...
Ladies and gentlemen, this is so much crap, I can't stand it. This Senator Bob Graham is full of it. The watershed in this country was April the 19th, 1993. Another watershed was April the 19th, 1995. This is just another one.
To protect the citizens of America in this new reality.
Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Bill.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Tim. I just got into town. I've been gone for 4 days. I was wondering if you're going to broadcast your show on the air in Eager.
It's on the air right now in Eager.
I don't know.
It's been on the air since 9:30 this morning.
I just got a phone call. Amazed. Okay, good. I'm going to turn you on right now.
All right.
Thank you.
Not as a peripheral potential. In order to do so, we must reacquire the intelligence capabilities of which we have lost. Beginning with the human intelligence, we no longer can rely, as we did during the Cold War, on machines as the means by which we gather our information. We have to have human beings who are diverse to represent so that they can properly infiltrate the diversity of our potential adversaries. They must be human beings who are skilled particularly in the new technologies that they are going to have to be able to apply in order to provide effective human intelligence. And they're going to have to be more numerous in order to cover the number of potential areas of threat. We also must make an investment in rebuilding our ability to eavesdrop on the rest of the world. For many years during the Cold War, we had an almost uninterrupted capacity to gather information through the air. Today, as more communications are going through items such as computer to computer, we are going to have to rebuild our capability to gather the same level of information that we did in the past. We also must make a greater investment in the analysis of the intelligence information that we gather so that we can sift out of the haystack of material that we gather those needles that will point us in the direction of our potential adversary so that we can intervene before the act, not just write the history of the action. And finally, we've got to increase our investment in technological research and development. For many years, our intelligence technical capabilities were the standard of the world. We have fallen behind, and we need to close the gap and reassert our leadership so that the American people are assured that there is no adversary in the world that will have greater technical or human capability to anticipate, understand, respond, and effectively interdict terrorism.
Ladies and gentlemen, the number is 520-333-4578. And we're interested in your comments, your feelings, your response to what's happened today, and any information that you may have that I have not already reported, that's not rumor, it's not what you got off of some email or fax somewhere, that you either are an eyewitness to or that you have just watched on your local television or heard on your local radio that has not been reported either on this broadcast or any other broadcast. 520-333-4578. I understand that that most people are in shock over this and probably are just beside themselves with what to think or what to even imagine. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Cooper. How are you?
Good.
I'm John. I'm calling from Miami, Florida, and I did hear a local broadcast down here about a comment was brought up about if the militias were involved in this.
Who said that? I knew it was only a matter of time.
No. This was on one of the local radio stations down here, sir.
That's what I'm asking. Who said that?
I did not get the name, but it was on the AM dial. I forgot what the man's name was. I usually listen into that radio talk show quite often. But they were talking about the crash all day today, but I did happen to catch that. And another patriot here in Miami that I spoke with earlier today told me the same thing, that she had heard incidences like that over the radio today on the local radio station.
Yeah, well, I can assure you and everybody in Florida that no American patriot or American militia organization had anything to do with any of this. And it's very easy to figure out. No American patriot would ever attack our own Pentagon. If American patriots were to attack anything, it would have been the United Nations building. So
I agree with you, sir. But as more reports come in on a local radio station here, I'll jot them down, and I'll be more than happy to call you. But I want to make a comment that does not have anything to do with this bombing. Former Attorney General Janet Reno is not going to run for governor of the state of Florida.
She not?
She is.
Oh, yeah, we know she is. She made that announcement.
Okay. I didn't think you knew that, but I'll let you know. Okay.
Well, she made that announcement a week ago.
Okay. Well, I knew that, but I didn't know if you did or not.
Oh, yeah. If anybody in the country does, it's me. Yeah, the Wicked Witch Butcher Barbecue Artist of Waco. Yeah, we keep track of her.
Well, that's great. I keep track of her, too. And I hope nothing terrible comes out of this situation up there in New York or Washington, D.C.
Well, that something terrible has already occurred. At least 10,000 people or more are dead.
Well,
and a lot more than that are wounded, maimed, or injured.
Well, what I meant was I hope no laws are enacted or if the laws are made in Washington or any state or local laws are made in the state of Florida or any other state pertaining to terrorism or more gun seizures, anything of that sort. That's what I meant.
Well, you know, I'm in sympathy with that. I agree with you, but I think that's exactly what they're going to do.
Well, Mr. Cooper, I'm quite sure that we're headed towards a revolution in this country, but...
Nope, no revolution. Revolution is the communist plan. We want a restoration of constitutional republican government under the law, nothing else.
I agree with you, Mr. Cooper, but...
Drop that word revolution from your vocabulary right
now. Okay, I understand. I learn every day, sir.
Okay, that's good. As long as you learn, that's good.
Well, you have a very good day, and I will keep listening to your broadcast, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Drop that word revolution right now, all of you. Forget it. The plan for this country, as far as revolution is concerned, is a communist plan. I'm not a communist. I don't know about you. I'm an American. I believe in the law. The supreme law of the land is the Constitution for the United States of America. It is not in effect, has not been in effect for a long time. The government is totally outside its bounds. It is, in fact, a tyranny. And if we do anything, we must accomplish a restoration of constitutional republican government under the law. Nothing else. Nothing else. Period. Anything else is beyond our duty, beyond our capacity, is beyond the law, is beyond right, and we can't be beyond those things. We must stay within them. 520-333-4578 is the number. As soon as you call, I will put you right on the air.
Personnel from other Department of Justice agencies are cooperating in this investigation. The FBI has established a website where people can report any information about these crimes. That address is www.ifccfbi.org. www.gov. That address again, www.ifccfbi.gov. Individuals can report any information they know about these crimes to that website. It takes courage for individuals to come forward in situations like this, and I urge anyone with information that may be useful and helpful to authorities to use this opportunity. The Office of Victims of Crime has established a toll-free 800 number for family and friends of victims. They can call 800-331-0075 to leave contact information for a future time when more information is available, to find out information about a victim, or to find out information about the rights of victims and the services available to victim survivors and victim families. The determination of these terrorists will not deter the determination of the American people. We are survivors, and freedom is a survivor. A free American people will not be intimidated, nor will we be defeated. We will find the people responsible for these cowardly acts, and justice will be done.
I hate to say this, ladies and gentlemen, but the people who carried out these attacks definitely were not cowards. They perished in the attacks. They, in effect, committed suicide in order to carry out these attacks. I wish people would stop being such hypocrites and liars. Tell the truth. You know, it's bad enough. Why do we have to stoop to all of the things that we hate in order to find out what the truth is? And in doing that kind of thing, we never find out what the truth is. What we do is perpetuate the lies. These people who carried out these attacks were not cowards. They may be despicable. They may be evil. They may be terrible people. They may be terrorists. They may be subversives. But they certainly were not, by any definition, cowards.
Physicians, nurses, and emergency medical technicians. They are all trained to deal with traumatic injuries and other emergency needs. We've also sent 4 disaster mortuary operational response teams to New York and 3 to the greater Washington area. We're also in the process of shipping a great deal of emergency medical supplies to New York City with the help of the Centers for Disease Control. In short, we're making the full force of the Department of Health and Human Services, both its resources and medical expertise, available to the areas that need our assistance. We've also this afternoon activated the United States Public Health Service Commission Corps, which consists of approximately 6,000 health professionals. We also are giving backup assistance to the 500-bed ship Comfort from the United States Navy. Americans all over are calling up and asking what they can do. The best thing they can do is respond to this great call by volunteering to give blood. We need Americans to continue to answer that call. No matter where you live, please do your civic duty and assist us by donating blood. Because our primary job is to make sure Americans harmed by this tragedy get the help that they need. We will remain in constant contact with the governors, the mayors, public health officials, and other local officials to make sure that all their needs are being met. It is a sad day, but America and all of its citizens certainly share tonight in the grief that has been caused. And as the President and everybody in his administration have said, we, the government, will continue to operate and continue to provide the services to all Americans.
One of the most cherished freedoms is the freedom of movement, the ability to move freely and safely. But today that freedom was attacked. But we will restore that freedom throughout the national transportation system as soon as possible. And we will restore the highest possible degree of service. These terrorist acts are designed to steal the confidence of Americans. We will restore that confidence. We have already taken some first steps as a precaution. I have ordered the FAA to ground all commercial air traffic until at least tomorrow afternoon. After the attack, some of our aircraft were diverted to Canada. And so we owe our Canadian neighbors a debt of gratitude for helping us as we redirected over 120 flights and their passengers to airports in Canada. As of 6 p.m., Amtrak resumed its passenger rail service. Major railroads have taken steps to protect their assets.
Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is Bart.
Hey, Bart. Thanks for calling. What's going on with you?
Well, we're just stocking up on some stuff. Gassed up our cars just in case. And, you know, got some cash. And just kind of seeing how things are going. You know, getting, you know, we're ready to get out if we have to.
Have you been paying attention to the... have you been watching what's been going on in the... on the major communist news networks?
Yes, I have, up until about the last hour.
Have you heard some of the comments that some of the people have made that, I don't know about you, but they've disturbed me. Have you heard any of those comments?
Yeah, the one that totally got me back is, you know, first of all, right away they start talking that it's terrorism immediately, and then they started saying that it's Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, how do they know that?
Yeah, exactly. How do they know? You know,
all the people who hijacked the airplanes perished in the attacks. They claimed that they had no warning, no knowledge of anybody was going to do anything like this. So, and we're hearing on the BBC, especially, that the United States is now bombing Kabul, which is the capital city of Afghanistan. And I guarantee you the people that are on the receiving ends of those bombs had nothing to do with any attack in this country. They're just men, women, and children who live in their city going about their everyday life like people here would be doing. Did you know anything about that?
Yes. I heard some reports about that. And then there's some conflicting other reports about it being an armory that's on fire and launching and, you know, what looks like missiles and demolitions of ammunition in an ammo dump. And so right now we have no idea what's really going on.
Yeah, well, that was my point that earlier, that they're reporting that this is what we're doing, and if we're doing that, then we're doing the same thing that the people in this country did this morning. And if we're not doing that, why are they reporting that we're doing that?
Right.
And how would we know that it was Osama bin Laden or anybody else? But that's what the major news networks are telling us. If you could, Bart, could you just take about 10 minutes or so and explain, you know, where you were this morning and what happened, how you found out about it, what your reaction was, and what your family has done, you know, because of it, and you know, just your reaction all day long, if you can. I would appreciate that.
Sure, not a problem, Bill. Basically, actually, I was woken up by a phone call by a friend who said, "Hey, you need to turn on the news and check out what's going on." And I did immediately. And this was when it was just one plane had hit the first tower. And I immediately got on the phone and started calling a few other people and informing them what was going on. And, you know, some of my reactions immediately were, oh, my God, how can something like this go on? And I was half upset, half angry, and actually, you know, in total, like, in disbelief, but then also understanding that it's very, very, you know, possible, and it would make sense to, according to certain people's agendas. And it's still kind of like a dream. And I know I live in California, in Southern California. I know it's very, very different for the people who live in New York City or on the East Coast. Being in being on the West Coast, we're as far as you can get, as far as in the continental U.S. And so here, I remember when I was getting gas for our vehicles at the gas station, there were, you know, everybody was listening to the AM stations, listening to the radio, to the news, as far as what was going on, and it was kind of a dreamlike state. People were all quiet and very reserved and just kind of walk around, not in the zombies, but just kind of, you know, not knowing what exactly was going on and how to really react. Very, very strange mode and mood. And it's starting to, I guess, get a little bit better now as far as normalcy. We noticed that many of the gas stations that we pass are unusually heavy with people in line to get gas. One of my good friends, Stephen, went to a place here called Nature Surplus, which is a surplus store that carries a lot of, you know, ammo cans and MREs and food and whatnot. And there was a mad rush. a big, huge mad rush there. And not surprisingly, there were off-duty police officers who were stocking up on goods. There were regular citizens. There was just a lot of people who were there. Are you still there, Bill? You took a break. Okay. Here in California, it's actually a slightly overcast day. It's actually kind of warm and muggy, and very different from the original shots that were shown in New York at the towers when it was a crystal clear day. And I was just kind of, the thoughts were going through my head originally of like, oh, I really hope that this isn't, this isn't the dreaded day that, that is to come, that some of us really, never wish will come, but most likely will eventually one day. Hopefully it is not today, and this isn't the start of it as an excuse for the government to declare martial law or to instigate additional security measures, quote unquote. So here, I'm kind of glad that things have kind of seemed to have stabilized somewhat, and I'm praying and hoping that nothing else will happen, anything more that will happen here in the United States. I was very concerned that that there would be a bomb or some kind of event that would happen here in Los Angeles, which would then trigger, you know, additional just, you know, more things that make it hit the fan, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. I'm back.
Okay.
Hey, Bart, in your travels around today, did you hear people making comments? What were some of the comments that you heard?
Most of them were just from average people, like at the bank and such, just going like, you know, I can't believe how many, you know, people, you know, probably are hurt or were killed, and people doing these, you know, mindless acts. And I know that other people are saying, you know, we should just go and get all these terrorists and you know, get rid of them all.
Who did they blame them?
It's always just them. Terrorists. Originally, one of the first people who immediately right after it had happened was just saying, we should just go and kill them all and just round them all up and just go get them, you know.
Who? Who was he talking about?
He's just talking them, the terrorists, you know. This would be... started coming out with them being possibly being Arab or being Osama bin Laden group or anything like this.
I wonder how he would react if I thought he was one of the terrorists.
Exactly.
And people are going around saying that we ought to round him up and just eliminate him.
But people, and then they say, oh, don't worry, you know, the government will find out who it is and they'll get him, and George Bush isn't going to let them do this and do that. It's a lot of talk and not too much thought.
Well, that's real strange because Osama bin Laden was created by George Bush when he was head of the CIA, and the Afghanistanis were fighting the Soviet Union, and George Bush's CIA recruited Osama bin Laden, trained him, helped him recruit his terrorist cell members, trained them on how to make bombs and blow things up, financed them, gave them money, and supported them. And Osama bin Laden is a creation of George Bush.
That's right, and that's why I was just mentioning to Janelle, my wife, saying, like, well, here we go. As soon as I heard them start talking about Osama bin Laden, that's who it was, and, you know, we're going to go get him. And it was like, well, here's the next Hitler, here's the next Saddam Hussein, it's the next, you know, figure to blame it on for all those people.
Yeah. Yeah, in the New World Order, in the absence of a Soviet Union, you have to have an enemy to blame things on.
That's right. And, it's kind of funny, as a side note, it's here in Los Angeles, in West... all around the entire building on the outside of the building with rifles. And, we're joking, like, what are they going to do? Shoot the plane down with their rifle? You know? And if there was a plane that was going to come in kamikaze the federal building.
If experience is any indicator, they would have shot each other. Or some innocent civilian whom they mistook for an American patriot.
Yeah. And, even at least there are some people who are kind of using half their brain saying, well, shoot, if they could hijack four airplanes in one morning, you know, all at the same time and do this kind of, event, if they were, quote-unquote, terrorists, you know, because it's like, well, then what are all these security measures that you have to go through at the airport for?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And that was going to be my next question. How do these guys, Bart, how do you suppose they got on these airplanes with weapons and were able to hijack the airplane and carry out what they carried out this morning?
I could only speculate, and, you know, most of it would lead to either somehow, you know, some way of getting someone on the inside of either ground crew or flight crew or somehow like that. I doubt that they would, you know, send someone in as a normal passenger and try to go through the normal security measures. But that's why it's pretty much a joke.
Well, it is. It always was a joke. I mean, those of us who understand what security is really all about knows that if somebody really wants to do these kinds of things, inconveniencing the public and the passengers and the people who pay to ride on these aircraft is certainly not going to prevent it. It never has, and it never will.
That's right.
It's an attack upon freedom.
That's right.
So, well, this morning, nobody knew exactly what was going to happen or what was going to come out of all of this, and we still don't. We do know that martial law has been declared nationwide, and the way we know it is that all government buildings in Washington, D.C. were evacuated. The government literally went underground to Mount Weather and other underground command post facilities. Full regiment of United States Army troops were deployed in Washington, D.C., the border between the United States and Canada and the United States and Mexico have been sealed. All airports and shipping ports have been closed and sealed in this country. No aircraft anywhere are allowed to take off or land except for military aircraft. All international flights were rerouted to land in Canada. And I could go on. There's lots of other things that have occurred. And that tells me that martial law is in effect all over this nation. The American people have not been given an official announcement that it has been declared. But it has, in fact, been declared by the president in secret and is in effect. What do you think about that?
I agree with you totally, Bill.
Yeah. And it's totally unconstitutional and against the law for them to do all of these things without a declaration of martial law.
Yeah.
They've set up roadblocks. They have completely severed some interstate and national highways. And it's a very dangerous atmosphere that exists in this country right this moment.
Yes, they've closed off many of the main streets and parts of the freeway that are in a radius of the airport, the Los Angeles International Airport, the one that I know. Definitely all of LAPD and sheriffs have all been on full tactical alert. The anti-terrorist team of LAPD was deployed immediately.
Deployed where? That's when they say, we deployed the anti-terrorist team. Well, really? Where did you deploy them? Who are they deployed against? Or are they standing around some donut shop waiting, you know, to be deployed? How do you deploy somebody against an enemy that doesn't exist?
Yeah, they're supposedly going around looking at... cruising around, I guess, checking out potential terrorist sites.
Oh, you mean they're checking out chicks, huh? That's what they're really doing.
Driving around and, like, driving down the alley like in the old cop shows and see someone breaking in someplace.
Well, I used to live in L.A. I know what they're doing. They're driving around looking at chicks. There's nobody to deploy them against. Where are you going to deploy them? Where? What? There's no terrorists in L.A.
The guy with the big, you know, big red T-shirt, you know.
What are they doing? Doing drive-bys on gang members?
Yeah, I'm a terrorist. You're looking for me.
Oh, gee. Well, that gave me a little bit of humor. They've deployed the anti-terrorist unit of the Los Angeles Police Department. Never mind that there's nobody to deploy them against. They can't find a terrorist. They're out driving around looking at, you know, pretty ladies is what they're doing. Looking for, you know, a good donut shop. That's really what they're doing. I mean, what else could they be doing?
It's, you know, there's police everywhere. And, you know, as we're driving right now, we just saw like two units in the last 60 seconds. And I must say it's very weird because where I live, I'm actually in the glide path for descent for landing for LAX, you know, very far out from it. But it's very weird not seeing or hearing any commercial planes.
No planes. Actually, it's not just commercial planes. There's no planes flying except for military and police planes. And I want to alert all of you listening. It is not good. Not good to be out driving around anywhere or doing anything outside your home when the police are out looking for somebody to shoot. And that's exactly what they're doing. They got itchy trigger fingers. They're looking for somebody to shoot, and you better stay home. All of you, everybody listening, stay home. Go underground. Disappear. Don't give them any excuse to screw around with you or to hurt you or your family. Because I'm telling you, you better listen to me, you know how these people are when they get excited, you know, they kill somebody. And it's always an accident. So, stay home. Disappear. Leave them alone. Don't mess with them. Stay off the highway. Stay off the streets. Stay out of the cities.
At Los Angeles International Airport, LAX, there was a spokesperson who came on stating that they, with their heightened security, they immediately started searching and investigating everybody, even people who would not originally be suspicious in normal, quote unquote, circumstances.
Yeah.
see what I mean, probably.
See what I mean, folks? And I'll bet you, before the next 24 hour passes, there will be some innocent people shot by security or law enforcement or federal agents. Just because. I don't know who it will be or why, but I bet you it will happen. And probably you will never hear about it on the national news. If somebody from the local level that knows about it doesn't call us, we'll probably never know about it. That's the way it goes, huh, Bart?
Yep.
How's
and I'm sure it's already happened. You know, it's in this kind of atmosphere, you know, the average public would let police do something like that. You know?
Yeah.
You know, you
good opportunity for some people that don't like to disappear, huh?
Yes.
How's Janelle?
She's doing wonderful. She's right here.
How's our baby?
Doing very well. Kicking, though.
Oh, really? I can't wait to babysit. You are going to let me babysit.
Of course.
Okay.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm tired. Tell you the truth, I've been behind this microphone doing this since about 9:30 this morning. And if Doyle hadn't brought me something to eat, I'd be just literally chewing anything in sight right now. He brought me an Italian submarine sandwich and a big Coke and some fries. And, I shouldn't have said Coke. Now I'm going to get a letter from Gene telling me how bad Cokes are for me because they've got sugar in them. you know Gene.
Oh, you're good at it.
I'm in big trouble, huh? I let it slip that I drank a Coke. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, you know, say your prayers for all those people who are hurt, injured, and wounded, and all that kind of stuff. Where's Janelle? Put her back on.
Okay, she's right here.
Janelle?
I'm here.
Hello, sweetheart. You want to tell our listening audience what your reaction to all of this that happened today was, and you know, what you thought, and what you've been doing all day, and how it's affected you?
Well, very similar, because Dark's my husband, so we were sleeping, and we were awakened probably around 6:30 this morning by a phone call. And when we saw it on the news, it's like, oh, great, I hope it's not the day that you were telling us that it was coming. So, looking at it, I was agitated, and that's why, and I was sad, and a lot of emotions were going through my body, so I think the baby felt it, so it started kicking me all through this morning.
Mm-hmm.
it's just a shame, and they kept saying it was a terrorist attack, you know, from the very beginning.
Yeah. And they don't really know who did it or why. They have no idea, period.
No, but they said it right thing when, you know, you turned on the news, it's like a terrorist attack, when World Trade Tower go down.
Well, you know, when I first started watching it, I was watching CNN, and they were saying that the first plane that hit the first tower was most probably an accident. And it wasn't until the second plane hit that I started hearing them making reference to a possible, and the word they used was possible terrorist attack, when, of course, at that time, I knew that both of those crashes were intentional. There was no possible about it. They were both intentional crashes and attacks upon this country. When did you get that feeling?
Probably when we were watching the news, and the other thing is, there's no way that a plane could bring down the World Trade Center, you know? That's what they were saying. It crashed, and I mean, we can see the bomb, the bomb explosion.
Well,
what we thought.
Yeah. Did you ever study hydraulics or pressure upon a cylinder or anything like that? Any kind of pneumatics or hydraulics in high school or college?
No.
No. Okay, well, well, that's okay.
I don't remember.
That's all right. I'll talk about that later. But basically what it is, if you have a hydraulic cylinder with a piston face that has like 3 square inches, and you apply 10 pounds per square inch, you're effectively exerting 30 pounds of pressure. It's 3 times 10. And so the impact of a jet, no matter how big it is, on one of those skyscrapers is absolutely nothing compared to the force exerted upon the entire building just by a 10-mile-per-hour wind upon the entire area of the building. It's absolutely impossible to even consider the fact that a plane crashing into that building could have brought it down. So, you know, they're built to withstand hurricane winds. And because planes have crashed into buildings, in history, when they make these buildings, when they build them, when they design them to withstand the impact and the crash of a modern commercial jet into the building. And while it might demolish that floor and the floor above and below it, and cause extensive damage and fire and devastation and stuff, it will not, in your wildest dreams, bring down the building. It's incredible to even imagine that anyone could think such a thing in the light of the fact that the force of a hurricane wind, which they're designed to withstand, over the entire structure of the building, based upon the principle of pneumatics and hydraulics, if it can withstand that force, the force of the impact of an airplane is nothing compared to it. Absolutely nothing.
Bill, that's one of the things that I noticed, is that when they keep showing the plane actually impact the building doesn't even shudder.
Yeah, it doesn't even shake. Nothing. It just, you know, the plane just goes in and then the fire starts.
Right. And I think on one of the news channels, they're trying to explain that by saying that the jet fuel from the jet were burning it. They were so hot that they burned the steel that was supporting the rest of the structure above it, and that's why it collapsed. And I'm like, well, I'm not an expert, but I don't know if, you know, jet fuel burning is hot enough to, you know, take out the steel girders that hold up like the World Trade Center. But
yeah, not only that, but it's not steel girders; it's reinforced concrete, steel reinforced concrete. That's just an incredible statement that they would make. And even if it did, let's consider that it possibly could. Let's just consider that for a moment. It might cause the floors above the area where the plane crashed to collapse, but it would not cause the entire building to collapse. And that's what happened. I mean, what melted the support system at ground level? Come on! Give me a break.
You know, what's really interesting is that they always show the first building collapse where it appears that it falters right where the plane impacted, and then showing the top of the building, you know, coming down on the rest of the building.
Mm-hmm.
But then, if I remember correctly, early in the morning, I only saw the second building fall down once. I only saw it play once, and it looked like it came down from the base.
Yeah.
And since...
It did. And people in New York City heard an explosion each time each of those buildings collapsed.
That's what I figured. I haven't heard that, you know, on the Communist News Network. But that's what's really interesting, is that they only show that one building always going down. They never show, at least in all these repeats later on, hours after.
Yeah, and it's the building that's obscured by the other building. You can't really see it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't see the whole building. You just see part of it.
Right, and the second one, they don't show that one coming down all the time.
Yeah, that's right, because they don't want you to see that one. But that's the most obvious. I mean, it collapses from the very bottom all the way to the ground. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Well, you just stay ready, Bart, because we don't know what's going to happen. We know that the whole nation is under martial law, even though they have not made a formal public announcement. And we don't know what the government's reaction is going to be regarding patriots and militia members. And we don't know what's going to happen. Based upon what's happened in the past, we can expect to be attacked. And they certainly did that right after the Oklahoma City bombing. The media and the government attacked patriots and militia members all over this country. And so we must be prepared for that. And you being one of our best members, at best, do everything you can to protect yourself and your family. Okay?
Will do, Bill.
I love you.
Love you too, Bill.
Love you, Janelle. And I love that baby.
Love you, Bill.
Hope to see you soon.
Thanks. We'll give you a call later.
Thanks for calling, Bart.
No problem, Bill.
I really appreciate it.
We'll talk to you later, Bill.
Okay. 520-333-4578 is the number. That was Bart of Prepaid Legal fame. Many of you know Bart. And Bart just gave his report. Now let's hear yours. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Cooper?
Good.
Man, I was surfing and you took me by surprise. I didn't expect you to be on this early.
I've been on since 9:30 this morning.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I'll be. I'm looking at this, and, you know, it seems like an hour after the attack took place, I just turned on your program, so I don't know what your perspective is. I'm going to give you mine. An hour after this took place, the media immediately started demonizing the Muslims and the Islamic religion. And it seems like, in my view, we're going to get drawn into a war in the Middle East.
Well, I've said that for a long time. But, you know, nobody in their wildest dreams who would you normally suspect would do something like this could possibly benefit from it. And so we need to look elsewhere. Whoever will benefit, will absolutely benefit from whatever happened today in this country is the real culprit, whoever that might be.
Well, we both know there's been a war coming on in the Middle East for about a year now when the peace process broke down. And
well, the peace process from the beginning was a total sham. There's never been peace in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Not since the State of Israel, well, before the State of Israel was declared. I mean, it took a while to take that territory and declare the State of Israel, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well,
there hasn't been peace since then, and that's been probably before World War II. There hasn't been any peace in the Middle East.
Yeah, well, there's a war going on inside Israel between the Palestinians and the Jews, and you know, we've been hearing reports that surrounding Arab nations were making preparations to move against Israel, and it just seems like with this attack, that we're going to be drawn into the Middle East on the side of Israel, and God knows what's going to happen. But I tell you what, Bill, I'm in St. Louis, and the price of gas right now is $5 a gallon.
You're kidding.
No, it's happening everywhere.
Why is it $5 a gallon? There's no shortage of gas in this country. Somebody's ripping everybody off big time.
It's taking place, from what I understand, all across the country. That gas price, I mean, cars are lining up. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, they're blocking the roads. Cars are lining up. It's like 1970s again.
Wow. Well, yeah. I heard that. And when Doyle came up, he said he went by the Circle K, and there were cars lined up, you know, down the street a block away to get gas.
Yeah.
And that's very unusual for a little town like this. But in the face of martial law and the uncertainty of what all of this might bring upon us, I can understand why people want a full tank in whatever they're driving.
Yeah.
I always keep full tanks in everything, so I never have to worry about that. I couldn't put another drop of gas in any of my tanks if I wanted to.
You know, Mr. Cooper, I get a feeling that, you know, something happened today and that things are going to be different forever now, and
it's the end of freedom.
That's
freedom died today all around the world unless Americans are willing to stand up and resist whatever the government is going to do to make that a reality. And I guarantee you they're going to do a lot of things to make it a reality.
You know, in my heart, that's what I thought. Is I didn't know exactly, but you know what? You're right. That's what I was feeling, is that freedom died today, and it's a sad day, and it just seems to me that there's something going on. I mean, it's just, you know, I just cannot believe that it was Islamic terrorists that did this. So I just, you know, that's what they're telling us. That's what they want us to believe. So I just can't believe that's what it was.
I don't believe that's what it was either.
Take care, Bill.
But I don't know who's responsible. I don't know who did it. I'm not pointing any fingers because I don't know. I do know what the agenda is, and I know what the outcome of it's going to be. We lose our freedoms.
I'm afraid you're right.
In many ways, we already have. Every airplane in this country is grounded. All the airports are closed. For the first time in the history of this country, the border between the United States and Mexico and the United States and Canada are sealed. They're sealed. We have United States Army troops occupying the streets of Washington, D.C. The United States government has gone to its underground command post at Mount Weather and in underground facilities. And I could go on and on. Several governors of states have declared martial law and called up the National Guard. You know what I'm saying?
I know. It doesn't look good. You know,
and in light of the fact that they don't know who did this or how many more of them are out there waiting to hijack another plane and do it again, how are they going to open the airports and allow planes to fly? And if they do that, what kind of security measures are people going to have to go through to get on those planes?
That's another thing that crossed my mind today is I just had a feeling that this is just the beginning of if you want to call it terrorism or whatever, this is just the beginning. I just have a feeling that, you know, what happened today is going to happen again. And maybe things that are worse than that, because we know that biological and chemical weapons
Well, I predicted all of this years ago. I wrote about it in my book. Exactly what I predicted and said would happen is happening, has happened. Every prediction I've ever made has come true except for the one where I said it would not be able to try Manuel Noriega in an American court and sentence him to prison because as the head of a foreign nation, he had diplomatic immunity. But they did it anyway, which means that the law really doesn't mean much to anybody anymore. They're going to do what they want to do.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You know, I'm waiting to hear some moron blame it on talk radio and Christian patriots.
Well, from what I heard, a previous caller called from Florida and said on Florida, on the radio, people are already asking questions about patriots and militias.
Oh, no.
Which is what I said when I first came on at 9:30 this morning, is that you watch, eventually, sometime today, somebody is going to start blaming American patriots and militia members. And the Second Continental Army, the Republic, has ordered its units underground, and all patriot leaders have been asked to take measures to protect themselves and go underground. And be very careful who you listen to. Don't listen to people like Alex Jones and the other great BS artists that are just out there to stir people up to do something that they shouldn't ought to be doing.
You know, I'm watching the videotape. I worked today, so I came home, and I'm just now watching the videotape of the towers going down. It just seems to me that they went down really fast, don't you think?
Not only went down very fast, but everybody in New York City who were near those towers heard explosions at the base of the towers, and then they collapsed all the way down the ground. I mean, they just... airplanes can't do that.
Yeah. Take care, Mr. Cooper. God bless.
God bless you, too. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. If you'd like to call and get in your 2 cents worth, let us know what you think. Let us know what you're feeling. If you know something that we don't know that is a fact and is not some rumor that you heard from your next door neighbor or got off some fax machine, we want to know about that too. Good evening. You're on the air.
I'm a little nervous here, but I'd like to say a couple things. First, I'd like to ask you to speak a little bit with less profanity. It would be wonderful, but the second thing...
What profanity?
Just the...
No, be specific. What profanity have I said all day long? I can't hear you.
Like
hello, I can't hear you.
Okay, let me get...
I can't hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry, I can't.
We've lost you. You were loud and clear, and then you did something. I don't know what you did.
I'm
hello?
Hello?
Talk louder. Put the phone right in front of your mouth and talk louder. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's much better. Now, I want to know specifically what profanity you have heard me use all day long.
Well,
that's what I thought. You're a BS artist. I have never said one single word all day long that even remotely could be misconstrued by anyone as profanity. Goodbye. I am so sick of the people out there who pretend to know anything about free speech. And I have done broadcasts where I have intentionally said things that sound like profanity to gauge the reaction of the audience who professes to believe in freedom of speech but are not even remotely listening to anything that I say. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Zed, Connecticut. Sorry about the last two callers, or maybe people are so much in shock that they can't really talk straight. I'd like to talk a little bit about the World Trade Center.
Have you been listening to me all day?
Yes, sir, I have.
Have I said anything that even remotely could be misconstrued as profanity or obscenity?
I've been listening to you since 1:30 our time here, which would have been 10:30 your time. The previous hour I didn't get you, but that's neither here nor there. You haven't said anything nasty. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the World Trade Center.
Now it's up to nasty. Yeah. go ahead.
Yeah, I saw it being put together in 1971. It was in the late spring of 1971. I was down on Barrack Street, which abuts against the north side of the World Trade Center. And I took my father down there because I had a service call at the GSA building at 210 Barrack Street. And we parked and watched them putting steel up in that thing. The building is constructed as almost a cube made of 24-inch I-beams. They're of Corten steel.
Mm-hmm.
It is not reinforced concrete, as you've been mentioning.
But that's not true. Once the steel girders were put in,